In the heart of the North Atlantic, suspended in the vast expanse between Norway and Iceland, lies an archipelago of 18 islands. They are fragments of an ancient world, sculpted by primordial ice, honed by the relentless wind, and carved by the ceaseless rhythm of the waves. This is a land of profound dramatic beauty and a quiet, unyielding resilience. These are the Faroe Islands. From the vantage point of a seabird, they appear as emerald stepping stones in a formidable ocean, rugged, remote, and seemingly untouched by time. The quality of light here is different, a soft, diffused luminescence that seems to emanate from the very air, making the greens of the hillsides impossibly vibrant against the dark, brooding sea. But to look closer is to discover a modern, intricate society, one that has not merely survived, but thrived, weaving its existence into the very fabric of this demanding environment. This is a story not of isolation, but of a deep and abiding connection to the sea that surrounds, to the land that sustains, and most importantly, to the people who call this place home. This is the story of the quiet life in the Faroe Islands. Life here is shaped, governed, and defined by the elements. The weather is not just a topic of casual conversation. It is a constant, active participant in daily life, a force that dictates the rhythm of every hour. Sunshine, a sudden downpour, a thick blanket of fog that can swallow the world in minutes, and a gale force wind that you can lean your entire body against, all can make their appearance in a startlingly short span of time. The Faroe's people have a well-worn saying, delivered with a knowing smile: if you don't like the weather, just wait 5 minutes. This profound acceptance of nature's unpredictability is woven into the national character, a unique blend of immense patience, steadfast pragmatism, and a deep-seated, humble respect for the world around them. The population is small, numbering around 53,000 souls, scattered across 17 of the 18 inhabited islands. This scarcity of numbers fosters an atmosphere of pervasive intimacy and familiarity. In this close-knit society, anonymity is a foreign concept. Everyone seems to know everyone, or is at least connected by a short chain of family, work, and shared history. Even in the capital city of Tórshavn, the world's smallest, life retains a village heartbeat. It is a capital city where the Prime Minister's phone number is in the public directory. Here, amidst the modern shops and government buildings, you can wander into the old town, Tinganis, a labyrinth of narrow lanes and turf-roofed houses whose dark, tarred wood speaks of centuries of history. Life moves at a human pace, unhurried, deliberate, and mindful. Daily life in the Faroe Islands is anchored in the bedrock of community. In the small villages that cling tenaciously to the coastlines, often sheltered in fjords or perched on ledges above the sea, life revolves around simple, dependable, and time-honored routines. The day often begins not with the sound of an alarm clock, but with the call of an oyster catcher or the low hum of the wind moving through the grass. For many, the first act of the morning is a look out the window, not just to gauge the weather, but to observe the sea, the great provider, the source of the island's prosperity and their very sustenance. Is it calm enough for the small boats? Are the trawlers returning? The sea is the village bulletin board. The family unit is the cornerstone of Faroe's society. Homes are sanctuaries of warmth and light, havens from the often harsh and unforgiving weather outside. They are places of hugni, a pharaoh's concept akin to the Danish hygge, a feeling of coziness, contentment, and shared warmth. It is the soft glow of a lamp in a window on a dark afternoon, the aroma of coffee brewing, the quiet click of knitting needles, the murmur of conversation around a kitchen table. It is a deliberate cultivation of comfort and togetherness. It is common for multiple generations to live in close proximity, creating a powerful and resilient support network that forms the backbone of the community. Children grow up with a profound sense of freedom and security, exploring landscapes of epic scale as their own backyards. The concept of heimablidni, or home hospitality, is central to the culture. It is not uncommon for locals to open their homes to strangers, sharing a meal, a cup of coffee, and stories, offering a genuine glimpse into the warmth that defines the Pharaoh's spirit. This inherent closeness fosters a powerful sense of collective responsibility. When a task is too large for one family, the community instinctively comes together. Tradition in the Faroe Islands is not a relic of the past, preserved under glass. It is a living, breathing, and integral part of the present. The Faroe's language, a distinct North Germanic tongue that descended directly from the Old Norse of the Viking Age, is the heart and soul of their identity. For centuries, it was a purely oral language with no written form, preserved and passed down through epic ballads and intricate stories. This powerful oral tradition is still celebrated today, most vividly in the Pharaoh's chain dance. It is a unique, mesmerizing spectacle, a medieval ring dance where participants link arms and move in a rhythmic, hypnotic step. Their voices joined in the chanting of long, ancient ballads known as kvedi. These songs tell tales of heroes, kings, and mythical creatures, and to witness the dance is to feel the pulse of 1,000 years of history. There are no instruments. The human voice and the percussive stomp of feet on the wooden floor are all that is needed. It is a powerful, unifying experience that connects each generation to the ones that came before. There is an immense and quiet pride in this cultural heritage. The national costume, the Faroese kledi, is a masterpiece of craftsmanship, with its hand-woven patterns, delicate embroidery, and gleaming custom-made silver buttons. It is not a costume reserved for performers. It is worn with genuine pride at weddings, confirmations, holidays, and national celebrations like Olavsuka, the national day. Each element, from the woolen cloth to the silver clasps, tells a story of local materials and artisanal skill. It is a vibrant, personal symbol of a culture that has steadfastly and successfully maintained its unique identity against the overwhelming currents of globalization. This tangible connection to the past is etched into the landscape itself. In the historic village of Kirkjubur, one can find the magnificent ruins of a 13th century cathedral standing sentinel against the sky. And next to it, the Kirkjubur Gardur, a wooden farmhouse that has been continuously inhabited by the same family for an astonishing 17 generations. The ocean is the lifeblood of the Faroe Islands. It is their farm, their highway, and their greatest challenge. For centuries, the Faroes have been a seafaring people, and today, the fishing industry remains the undisputed backbone of the national economy. The harbors, from the large industrial port of Klaksvik to the small sheltered marinas tucked into tiny villages, are the vibrant centers of activity. The lives of the fishermen are demanding, governed by the unforgiving schedules of tides, weather patterns, and the seasonal migration of fish. It is a life of long absences and inherent risk, a profession that requires immense skill, courage, and an intimate understanding of the sea. They spend days, sometimes weeks, at sea, navigating some of the world's most treacherous and unpredictable waters to bring back their precious catch. On shore, a sophisticated network of modern processing plants prepares the seafood, primarily high-quality salmon, from aquaculture farms, alongside wild-caught cod, haddock, and mackerel, for export to markets across the globe. It is said that nearly everyone in the Faroe Islands has a connection to the fishing industry, whether through a family member who works on a boat, a job in a processing plant, or a business that services the fleet. But the economy is slowly and carefully diversifying. Tourism is a growing sector, as more and more travelers are drawn to the island's pristine, unspoiled nature. A new generation of entrepreneurs is emerging, creating small, innovative businesses, from craft breweries using local rhubarb to design studios creating high-fashion knitwear from traditional Faroes wool. There is a burgeoning music scene, with Faroes artists gaining international recognition, and a small but growing tech sector finding a niche in this well-connected society. Yet, everything, in some way, is still tied to the sea. The rhythm of the national economy rises and falls with the fortunes of the catch, a constant, humbling reminder of their profound dependence on the ocean's bounty. Faroe's food is a direct and honest reflection of the landscape, simple, fresh, pure, and deeply connected to the seasons. The cuisine is built around what the land and more often the sea can provide. Seafood is naturally the undisputed staple. A freshly caught piece of cod or salmon, simply prepared with boiled potatoes and a dollop of butter, is not just a meal, it is a cherished ritual. A taste of the place itself. Traditional methods of food preservation, born from centuries of necessity in a time before refrigeration, are still an integral part of the culinary culture. Rest is a unique process of wind-drying and fermenting meat and fish in a yalur, a specially designed wooden shed with slatted walls that allow the salty, humid air to circulate freely. The process is a delicate art, and the resulting flavor is complex, pungent, and deeply savory, an acquired taste for outsiders but beloved by locals. Lamb is the other cornerstone of the diet. The Faroe's sheep, a hardy ancient breed, roam freely across the islands, grazing on salty, vitamin-rich grasses. This unique diet gives their meat a distinct, savory, and slightly gamey flavor that is unlike any other. Foraging for wild herbs and berries in the short summer months is also a common practice, a way to supplement the diet with fresh local flavors. While traditional food remains the heart of the cuisine, the culinary scene is evolving. In Tórshavn, a handful of innovative chefs are reimagining Faroe's ingredients, using ancient techniques in new and exciting ways, and in doing so, have earned international acclaim. Cozy cafes have sprung up, serving excellent coffee and homemade pastries, providing warm, inviting gathering places for friends to escape the wind and share a moment of hugni. But at its core, Faroe's food culture remains rooted in the home, a shared meal with family, featuring ingredients that were caught, raised, or foraged just a stone's throw away, remains the truest and most authentic taste of the islands. To truly understand the Faroe Islands is to understand its nature. The landscape is not a passive backdrop. It is an active, powerful force, a constant and awe-inspiring presence in daily life. There are no native forests here. The islands are covered in a thick, velvety blanket of green grass, punctuated by dramatic basalt cliffs that plunge hundreds of meters into the churning Atlantic. The air itself feels clean and sharp, filled with the scent of salt and damp earth. This environment does not just invite exploration, it demands it. Hiking is a national pastime, a way to connect with the land, to clear the mind, and to find a profound sense of solitude. Ancient footpaths, marked by stone cairns, were once the only way to travel between villages. Today, they serve as hiking trails that lead to some of the most breathtaking vistas on the planet. The view from the Kallur Lighthouse on the windswept island of Kalsoy, or the surreal optical illusion of the lake Sørvágsvatn, which appears to hover precariously above the ocean. The experience of walking these paths is immersive, the springy turf underfoot, the constant caress of the wind, the sudden reveal of a colossal sea stack rising from the waves. Sheep are a ubiquitous and iconic part of the landscape, outnumbering the human population by nearly 2-1. They are not just picturesque features, they are a cornerstone of the traditional way of life. Their wool is the raw material for the famous, intricate Faroese knitwear, and their meat is a vital food source. The relationship between the Faroes and their sheep is one of deep, practical respect, forged over 1,000 years. The bird cliffs, too, are a vital part of the ecosystem and culture. For centuries, seabirds like puffins and guillemots provided a crucial source of food, and the daring practice of rappelling down sheer cliffs to collect eggs and birds is a skill that speaks to the islanders' courage and resourcefulness. Life here is lived outdoors as much as possible, in deep, abiding appreciation of the wild, untamed, and utterly magnificent beauty that surrounds them. For all their apparent remoteness, the Faroe Islands are a remarkably well-connected and modern society. A sophisticated infrastructure of excellent roads, bridges, and groundbreaking subsea tunnels links the major islands, turning what were once long and arduous journeys by boat into simple, everyday commutes. To descend into one of these tunnels is a surreal experience. You drive down, under the immense weight of the North Atlantic, through a perfectly engineered tube of concrete and light, before emerging minutes later on an entirely different island. These incredible feats of engineering, including the world's first underwater roundabout, are a powerful symbol of the Faroes' determination to overcome the formidable challenges of their geography. Ferries, of course, still play a vital role, especially for reaching the more remote, outlying islands like the puffin paradise of Mykines. These journeys are a beautiful reminder of the ever-present sea, a force that is both a connection and a formidable barrier. The public bus system is efficient, subsidized, and reliable. Its blue buses are a familiar sight, even in the smallest and most isolated villages. This seamless blend of modern convenience and profound isolation is one of the defining paradoxes of Pharaoh's life. It is entirely possible to live in a tiny, remote village surrounded by nothing but mountains and the sea, yet still have access to high-speed fiber-optic internet and be just a short, comfortable drive away from the capital. This unique combination allows the pharaohs to enjoy the peace, tranquility, and close-knit community of rural life without sacrificing the benefits and opportunities of the modern world. It is a carefully constructed reality, a testament to their ability to innovate while preserving what they hold most dear. For the young people of the Faroe Islands, growing up here offers a unique and complex blend of immense freedom and inherent limitation. Education is a high priority, with an excellent public school system that prepares students for a globalized world. However, for higher education, the vast majority of young Faroes must leave home. They typically travel to Denmark, to which the islands are a self-governing territory, or to the United Kingdom and other parts of Europe to attend university. This period away from the islands is a modern rite of passage. It offers a crucial chance to experience the wider world, to gain new perspectives, and to acquire specialized skills. For many, it is their first experience of true anonymity, of life in a bustling multicultural city, a stark contrast to the close-knit familiarity of home. But the pull of home, the deep-seated connection to this unique place, is incredibly strong. A significant number choose to return after completing their studies, drawn back by the powerful bonds of family, the tight-knit community, and the unparalleled quality of life. They return with new ideas, fresh energy, and global perspectives, contributing to the island's dynamic and continuous evolution. The great challenge for the Faroe Islands in the 21st century is to create enough diverse and challenging opportunities to keep its young, highly educated population at home. It is a delicate and ongoing balancing act, preserving the unique culture and cherished small-scale society while fostering the innovation and economic growth necessary to build a sustainable future for the next generation. The rhythm of day and night in the Faroe Islands is a study in stark and beautiful contrasts, a rhythm dictated by the high latitudes. The long, light-filled days of summer, when the sun barely dips below the horizon, are a time for work and intense activity. The white nights create a sense of boundless energy. The harbors are busy from dawn till dusk. The roads are active, and people are out and about, hiking, socializing, and making the most of the precious light. The energy is focused and productive, a reflection of a society built on hard work and a deep understanding that one must make hay while the sun shines. Conversely, the long, deep darkness of winter brings a dramatic shift. With only a few hours of twilight-like daylight, life turns inward. As evening falls, a profound and palpable sense of quiet descends upon the islands. The towns and villages become still. The wind and the sea are often the only sounds that remain. This is a time for home, for family, for rest. Lights glow warmly from windows, signaling a collective retreat into the comfort and security of domestic life. The Faroes cherish this peace. The quiet nights are a time for reflection, for reading, for conversation, for simply being present. It is in this shared nightly calm that the strength of the community is restored and recharged, ready for the new day. Life in this remote and beautiful corner of the world is not without its significant challenges. The weather can be relentless, its power a constant factor in every plan. Storms can ground flights and cancel ferries for days at a time, reinforcing the sense of isolation from the outside world. The cost of living is high, an unavoidable consequence of the fact that most consumer goods, from fresh fruit to cars, must be imported over long distances. The landscape, for all its breathtaking beauty, is unforgiving. With limited arable land for farming and a finite amount of space for building, there is also the constant complex challenge of balancing tradition with the pressures of progress. How does a small nation welcome a growing number of tourists without compromising the fragile ecosystem and the peaceful way of life that attracts them in the first place? The debate around over-tourism in certain popular spots is a serious one, leading to innovative solutions like the annual Closed for Maintenance Weekend, where volunteers from around the world help maintain hiking paths. How do you maintain a unique and precious cultural identity in an age of overwhelming digital connectivity and global monoculture? These are the vital questions that the Faroes people grapple with, thoughtfully and collectively, every single day. So why do people choose to stay? Why, in a world of seemingly limitless options, do they remain rooted in this small, remote place? The answers are as varied as the individuals themselves, but they often circle back to the same core, fundamental themes. They stay for the profound, unshakable sense of community, for the feeling of belonging to a place where people genuinely know and care for one another. They stay for the unparalleled safety, for the simple, priceless freedom to let their children roam and explore without fear. They stay for the peace, for the pervasive quiet that allows for a deeper, more meaningful connection to oneself and to the natural world. In a world saturated with noise and distraction, the Faroe Islands offer a rare and precious silence. And above all, they stay for the unbreakable connection to home, to a landscape that is not just a backdrop for their lives, but an integral part of their identity, a part of who they are. It is a connection that is forged in the wind, in the sea, and in the shared, collective experience of living in a place of wild, dramatic, and enduring beauty. It is the feeling of having roots that run as deep as the cliffs themselves. The Faroe Islands exist in a delicate, beautiful, and constantly negotiated balance between the old ways and the new, between the untamed wildness of nature and the engineered comforts of modernity, between a cherished solitude and an essential community. It is a place shaped by the wind, the ocean, and a quiet, unyielding, and deeply admirable strength. Here, life is not measured in grand events or dramatic upheavals, but in the steady, dependable rhythm of the seasons, in the warmth of a shared meal, in the comfort of a familiar story, and in the simple, profound beauty of the everyday. It is a living testament to the idea that in a world that is constantly, relentlessly speeding up, there is still a place and a deep human need for a quiet life.